Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read two verses together, verses 1 and 2. Reading from the King James Bible. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, we're going to read in unison. And let's all stand and read together, shall we? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to talk to you this morning about God's will in your life and making decisions in your life. God's will in your life. You say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I will answer that question this morning. You'll have the answer to your question this morning. You don't know what God wants you to do in life. You'll listen very good for next 3.5 hours, and I'll tell you. Amen. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless now. Speak to our hearts about probably one of the most important subjects we'll ever listen to and ever read, the will of God in our lives. Bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me read it again one more time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I said, I'm going to talk to you this morning about the will of God in your life. You will be no doubt when I'm done, you'll know exactly what God has for you in your life. So how can you know that? Okay. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and 19 say, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have 8 points here this morning about the will of God in your life. And I believe these are as in order as I possibly can get them, to be quite honest with you. Number one, the King James Bible is the Word of God. The King James Bible is the will of God in your life. The reason we have so many different translations, so-called, or perversions, is because the devil's trying to deceive people and fool people about what the Word of God is. You ever hear the story about leprechauns? You know, it's just a myth, whatever it is, but leprechauns are supposedly unable to lie. They cannot lie. And so somebody caught a leprechaun one time and forced the leprechaun to show him where the treasure was buried in the forest. And the leprechaun led him to where it was and showed him the tree. And he says, right here, this is the spot where the treasure is buried. And the guy, he knows that leprechauns are able to lie. So he was so thrilled and excited about it, he took a yellow ribbon and tied it around the tree there, going to go back home to get a shovel and dig all that treasure up. So he came back running back to the forest with his shovel, and what he found was every single tree in the forest had a yellow ribbon tied around it. And that's what the devil has done to God's people. Because the people who love money, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. What they've done, they've printed Holy Bible on books and perversions to make you think that it's all the same book. It's all of God. It's all the Word of God. And that's not true. That's a lie. And so the devil, who's very, very clever in deceiving people, has deceived God's own people. And if you don't know what the Word of God is, you are never going to find out what the will of God is in your life. That's step number one. You will never know what the will of God is in your life if you don't have the right book. Things that are different cannot be the same. Number two is not the same as number three. They may be close, but it's not the same. There's only one English Bible in the last 400 years that has not been copyrighted. Whenever a man writes a book, it is copyrighted, which means he owns that book, and you cannot reproduce that book without the owner's permission. And that's true about every single translation except the King James Bible, because God wrote this book. If you go quote or try to copy or reproduce another book, a translation, you are not allowed to by law. You have to get permission by the person who owns a copyright because he's the owner of it. The King James Bible has never been copyrighted because it's God's word. There are two streams of translations from the Hebrew and the Greek. This is important. The first part may be boring to some of you, but this is the most important part, so please pay attention to this. There's two streams of translations from the Hebrew and the Greek. All the perversions come from Alexandrian manuscripts that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That's where the New World Translation comes from. The Jehovah's False Witness, they take the verses in the Bible that tell that Jesus is God, they take them completely out or they change them because it doesn't come from the Textus Receptus, the received text. Alexandria, Egypt was the capital of the world then for those who hated God and the Word of God, and where the lost scholars and theologians gathered together to discredit the Word of God by changing the words that they didn't like in the Word of God to deceive people who are immature and babes and too lazy and uncaring to know where God's Word is and how it came about to us even today. There's only one book that comes from Antioch, Syria, where they were first called Christians, and that's the Textus Receptus, the King James Bible. You look and see which book has produced revivals or street preaching or soul winning or godly living or separation. It's only from the King James Bible. Only. No other perversion has ever brought any revival ever. And I will tell you, in the last 400 years, every single time there's been a revival anywhere is because of a preaching of the King James Bible. Every single English Bible translation after the King James Bible has errors, omissions, perversions, and mistranslations in it. You know, everybody wants to say WWJD. What would Jesus do? I don't care what Jesus would do. I want to know what Jesus did. And I want to know what Jesus said. While you're trying to figure out what would Jesus do. It's already written down to tell you what he did. It's already written down to tell you what he said. But you get these cute little phrases, what would Jesus do? As if you don't know because you don't have a King James Bible, maybe. But we know what Jesus did. We know what he said. It's not rocket science. It's written in fourth or fifth grade English so everybody can understand what Jesus said. I'm talking about God's will in your life. Number one is the King James Bible. If you don't do anything else, you listen to me good. You get yourself a King James Bible and you read it. Because that is the will of God in your life, the King James Bible. Every verse. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Christ right here. This is the will of God in my life and in your life. Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is the book of knowledge right here. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he said. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I have been commanded by God Almighty to live our lives by every single word of God. Well, where is it? If it's not the King James Bible and the italicized words, where is the word of God? Where Jesus said to all of us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You better find yourself a book that has every single word of God, or you're not going to know what God's will is in your life. Psalm 12, verse number 6 and 7, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. One of the points, one of the 8 points I have here is prayer, to ask God for leading in your life. But I'm telling you this much, if you don't have a King James Bible, you have an abomination. I don't care how much you pray, I don't care what you pray, and I don't care how long you pray, God says your prayer is an abomination. If you don't get the Word of God down first, you're not going to get anything else in your life. Your marriage, your children, your health, your finances, a church, music. If you don't have the King James Bible, you're going to be messed up in every other area, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, this world has deceived God's people by getting them away from God's Word. You'd rather listen to religious radio programs and watch religious television programs. Why don't you get a King James Bible and read it? Because that's God's will in your life. Most people, the most popular they say today is the non-inspired version, NIV. That's what most people will say is their favorite. The NIV takes out the Godhead 3 times it's mentioned in the King James Bible because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They take out the word propitiation. They take out the word regeneration, mercy seat, Calvary, remission, Jehovah, immutable, omnipotent, comforter, Holy Ghost, quicken, infallible. They take all these words out. They take the word sodomite out, fornication, truce breakers, wine bibbers, carnal, slothful, unthankful, effeminate, backbiting, vanity, lasciviousness, whoredom, devils, Lucifer, damnation, brimstone, bottomless pit, and the list goes on. These are words that the NIV, the most popular book, out of the 54 times the word hell is mentioned in the King James Bible, the NIV takes it down to 14 times. First Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifest in the flesh. And the NIV changes it because they don't want you to believe that Jesus is God. And where Philippians chapter number 2 said in verse number 6 that Jesus was equal with God, the NIV says that Jesus is no longer equal with God, but rather could not grasp equality with God. So the most popular book, even among so-called God's people, is diluting and polluting their minds with filth and perversions. You wonder why the power of God is not on an NIV preacher. I even shouldn't use those 2 words in the same sentence. An NIV speaker. So why is that, Pastor? Well, Dr. Martin Woodstra was an open, unrepentant sodomite, was the chairman of the Old Testament Committee on the NIV. And God's people don't care. It's just more easy to understand. I don't believe that at all. You've just been deceived. And I'm telling you, if you don't have a King James Bible, you do not know what God's will is in your life. Before I get to point number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, if you don't get number 1 down, you can wash this down the toilet and forget everything I'm saying today. Amen. You better get yourself a King James Bible. Amen. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. So, do you know why those NIV churches and the other perversion churches, do you know why they got the rock and roll bands and long-haired hippie weirdo freaks on the drums and they got the wide screens and people jumping up and down? They don't have a King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. They don't know what God says about confusion and peace in the churches. My Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This book has the commandments of God right here. That's all you got to worry about. The whole duty of man rests in the King James Bible. Our country is pretty good for the first 200-300 years. I'm talking about when the pilgrims landed, not 1776. I'm talking about our forefathers, too. This place was blessed for the first 200-300 years. 200-300 years at least. But ever since we got perversion, since 1901, you check America and see how she's been. Believing perversions, reading perversions, while these filthy perverts are making money off of God's people. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you following Jesus? This is the voice of God right here. He's not going to come to you in an audible voice. He's not going to come to you in a dream or vision. This is the voice of God. If you have a King James Bible, this is the voice of God. God speaks to you. The Word of God is the words of God that speak to you, the voice of God. The problem today is most everyone is living their lives by horoscopes. They check the horoscope, the first thing they do. They check the stars or Dear Abby or Ann Landers. Whatever the unsaved guidance counselors and the unsaved teachers say in the heathen government school, teaching children and even the adults about perversions. Whatever Dr. So-and-so says on his or her television program. Whatever your neighbor says, whatever your dreams say, whatever your intuition says, whatever your feelings are like, whatever your gut says. People live their lives based on some singer or actor or sports player or someone famous, whatever they say, without checking to see whether it aligns with God or not. And people just follow the Pied Piper into hell. Point number two, salvation is for everyone. That's the will of God in your life. I said point number one, you're not going to get point number two unless you get a King James Bible. You listen to me good. Point number two is you need to be saved. Take your Bible. I'm not going to turn too many verses this morning, but we're going to turn these two. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God's will in your life is to be saved. I didn't know that until a lady gave me a King James Bible and showed me from the King James Bible that I needed to ask Jesus Christ to be saved. I was 21 years old on my way to hell, and some lady took a King James Bible, point number one, and she got to point number two, that you need to be born again. I said, well, I never heard that before. Doesn't matter whether I heard it before or not. God said it, amen. God said it. He's not willing. Well, read it. Verse number 4, who will, that's God's will, have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Are you saved? Do you believe the King James Bible is the word of God? That's point number one in the will of God in your life. If you don't get that, you're not going to get the will of God in your life. You're going to be messed up for the rest of your life. Number two, are you born again? Are you saved from hell? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you're spiritually inclined. I'm a spiritual person. I don't believe in organized religion. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Because it's God's will, he said, for you to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. That's what the Bible says. I don't care what a preacher says. God says he wants everyone to be saved. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. You're letting your biases and prejudice keep you from witnessing to some people that you don't like. When Jesus died on the cross for everyone. You like being saved. How about telling the gospel to somebody else who's lost on their way to hell? 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing. This is God's will now, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why Jesus came. He's the Word of God. Jesus called the Word of God at least three times in the Word of God. At least three times, the Word of God. Number one. Number two, he died on the cross for my sins and your sins. He died for the entire world's sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the NIV takes the word begotten out of there. Number three, I said point number one, the will of God in your life is the King James Bible. Number two is you need to be born again. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. He didn't say it's a good idea. He didn't say, if you have time, do it. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. I don't care whether you're Baptist or Catholic. I don't care if you're Buddhist or Hindu. It doesn't matter to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think, well, the other religions are just as good. You know, as long as they teach people to be kind and treat people friendly, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus was not a good moral teacher. He was, but he's just not a good moral teacher. And Jesus was just not a nice person. Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. Muhammad wasn't, Buddha wasn't, Hinduism didn't proclaim any of that. I said, number one, the King James Bible. Number two, being born again. Number three, be content. Be content. So many people are not content. Looking for another husband, looking for another wife, looking for another house, looking for another car, looking for another job. You're not content with what God's given you already. If you're not content now, why should God give you something else that you're not content with what God already gave you in the first place? You're chasing, trying to keep up with the Joneses, going further and further into debt, charging things on a credit card that you'll never be able to pay off, going to bankruptcy. You know why? Because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, be like your neighbors. You're not content. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you thankful for everything that God's given you? I'm not talking about just the good stuff. I'm talking about the bad stuff. The untoward stuff. The stuff that you wouldn't ask for, that you didn't like. Romans 8:28, still in the book. All things work together for good to them that love God. You got to love God. And he says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It's almost like we're demanding God that, God, I want this, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want this, I want that. Instead of saying, God, thanks for letting me live. Thank you for letting me get up this morning. Thank you for letting me see the beauty of the changing of the leaves, and thank you, Lord, for the sunrise, and thank you for letting me see my eyes, and thank you for getting me out of bed. I'm not handicapped or crippled. So a lot of people cripple handicapped. Thank God. Thank you, dear God, that I'm not in jail. I'm not in prison. I'm not in the hospital. Thank God, Lord, I'm not about to die, or at least I don't know. I mean, we're not even thankful for the things that God's already given to us, but we just want. Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with such things as you have. This is God's will in your life, being content. I'm not saying God is not going to give you more or something else, but we ought to be content with whatever God's given you right now. People get out of the will of God because they force things that they want to have when it's not God's will. Jesus said in Luke 3, verse number 14, he said, be content with your wages. Hey, talk about being anti-union, man. Jesus said in Luke 3, verse number 14, be content with your wages. Why would you ever strike for higher wages if Jesus said be content with your wages? You know, if you can't make ends meet, go find another job or go get a second job. But he said, be content with your wages. You're mad at the preacher. I'm just telling what God said. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Food and clothing will be added. Looks like to me like everybody's pretty well fed this morning. Maybe too well fed. Huh? The most obese, overweight nation in the world. You know what your problem is? You can't even decide what you want to wear in the morning. You got so many clothes. You can't decide what shoes you want to wear. Oh, that's a big problem, isn't it? What am I going to wear? How about you spending 2 or 3 weeks in the Philippines or Mexico where they're still wearing the same rags they wore for the last 30 or 60 or 90 days? We're the most ungrateful people on planet Earth, man. We've been most blessed by any nation, and we're the most ungrateful people. You're not happy about anything. You're just miserable because you've gotten too much. You've been blessed too much. There was a time you were happy when you got married. There was a time you were happy when your son or your daughter were born. There was a time you were happy when you got saved. There was a time you were glad when you came to church. There was a time that you were joyful. What happened? You got caught up with the things of the world, and you're not content anymore. Number four, this is the will of God in your life, your authorities. You ought to be subject. You ought to be obedient. You ought to submit to the ones who are in authority over you. I know this is a tough one for most people to swallow because most people are rebellious today. You go home and read Titus chapter number 3, Romans chapter 13, Hebrews 13 verses 7 and 17, Ephesians 6 verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 3, Numbers chapter 30, Ephesians 5, and I go on and on and on. The problem is, you don't want to listen to what your dad and mom have to say. You ever see these 10, 12, 13, 14-year-old teenagers think they know it all? Yeah, they go to school. They ask their other 13, 14-year-old friends what the secret to life is. What do you think I should do when I'm growing older? What do you think I ought to be? Where do you think I ought to go? Of course, you never want to ask your dad or mom for advice or counsel, who've been around the block once or twice, who know a thing or two about life, who can spare you some heartaches. And wives don't want to listen to their husbands. They don't want to obey. Children don't want to obey their parents. And people don't want to obey God. They're just rebellious. Why do I need a King James Bible? That's the same thing that children are sassing their parents. Oh, why should I listen to you? Okay. Go ahead. Live your life and see how your life turns out going contrary to the Word of God. Hey, how was your life before you got saved? How was it? Was it messed up or was it pristine? Was it perfect? Was it clean? Was it spotless? That's why you got saved, wasn't it? Wasn't it? You know, I thought after I got saved, 21 years old, I thought everybody would be happy if I stopped lying, cheating, stealing, and gambling, and drinking liquor, and all the other stuff. I thought everybody would be happy. But no, they get mad at you when you start preaching the truth. And God's people get mad at you because they're out of the will of God. I said, number one, the King James Bible in your life is the will of God. Number two, you need to be born again. Number three, you need to be content. Number four, listen and obey the authorities over you. Now listen, if the pastor says something contrary to the Word of God, you always go with the Word of God. Listen to me good. If the king says something contrary to the Word of God, we're going with the Word of God. If the president, the governor, the mayor says something contrary to the Word of God, there's no higher authority than the Word of God, than the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Number five, pray for God's will to be done in your life. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. John 5:30, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Romans 8:26 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for. You don't know what you need to pray for. So you know what you do? You say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. You don't know what you want. We're selfish beings. We wear flesh. We desire things of the world if left to ourselves. Paul writes in Philippians 1:22, yet what I choose, I want not. Praying for God's will to be done in your life. Don't tell God what you want to do. Ask God to show you in the Word of God to obey what He tells you to do. Do not give God your plans for your life and ask God to bless them. You give God a blank sheet of paper and you allow the Word of God to guide you. Amen. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. Even the Lord Jesus Christ prayed that way. What makes you think that you can do whatever you want to do and think that God is in it or God is going to bless it? It's not the will of God. Well, it's tough, Pastor. That could be the will of God. It's difficult, Pastor. It could be the will of God. And there's a better chance that it is the will of God if it's difficult. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, I said the other night I was preaching, Moses decided, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God as a decision. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If it's a difficult road, if it's hard, there's a good chance that God's in it. But because we have no character today, we have no backbone today, we have no grit in our crawl today, we have no perseverance today, we just give up and throw up our hands and wave the white flag and say, I surrender, I can't do it anymore. God can. God can. And God's given you the ability to. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what God says. He shall direct thy paths. You ought to go home and read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. I quoted Psalm 1 every time one of my children were born, six children were born, and the first words they heard was amen, and then Psalm 1, the entire chapter, the very first words they heard. You better go home and read Psalm 1 because that's the will of God in your life. James chapter number 1, verses 5 through 8, talk about anybody can ask for wisdom if you lack wisdom versus a double-minded man who wavers. Yeah, If you don't have the wisdom of God, you'll be double-minded the entire life, wavering, bouncing back and forth. What I should do, what I shouldn't have done. Why did I do that? And when you obey the word of God, you never have to question why I did that, because that's what God said to do. Jeremiah 29:11, but I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to end up in a blissful, peaceful end so he can bless your life. When you get off the road, you'll be cursed of God. And you're going to look back 10, 20, 30 years, I wish to God I paid attention. I wish to God I listened. It'll be too late. Psalm 35:13 says, I humbled my soul with fasting. We don't have this kind prayer anymore. This kind is prayer and fasting. We don't have the power of God. We can't get our prayers answered because most of our prayers from God's people are abominations today because they don't even have a King James Bible. And then they get mad at a preacher for telling them the truth. Here's what people do. Say, God, give us a revival. Send us a preacher. Send us a man of God. So God sends a man of God. And the first thing you said, who does he think he is? Psalm 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call, he'll answer. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. These are promises of God. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. They don't edify. Just because they're available to you and you can have them doesn't mean it's right for you to have it. It may destroy you or somebody else who's watching you. God says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. It's hard to drink liquor and beer and wine and booze to the glory of God. It's hard to blaspheme and cuss and swear and use God's name in vain to the glory of God. It's hard to cheat, lie, and steal and end up in jail and prison to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, he said. But use not your liberty as a stumbling block to those around you who are weak, in 1 Corinthians 8:9. Number six, counsel. Counsel. We've got 3 hours and 10 more minutes left. Amen. I said, number one, the King James Bible. I said, number two, you need to be born again. Number three, you need to be content. Number four, listen and obey your authorities. Number five, and you don't have to listen. If you're in a grown-up, at least give your parents the decency of what they think about something. And even if they're not saved, always go with what God says, but at least hear them out. They might give you some insight that you didn't even think about. At least have some respect for your parents or your grandparents if they're alive. I said number four, your authorities. Number five, pray for God's will to be done in your life. Number six, seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 18:1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 13:20 says, listen, this is one of the most important verses I think in the Bible. I don't want to say one is more important than the other, but I'm telling you, this verse, you better listen to me. Talking about the will of God in your life, Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who are you hanging around with? Who's your company? Who's your acquaintances? Who do you fellowship with? You run with the world, the devil's crowd? Or do you enjoy being with God's people, singing the songs of Zion and singing the hymns and the old gospel songs and listening to old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching? What kind of people do you like hanging around with? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 18:25, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Psalm 25:4 says, show me thy ways, thy paths. Hebrews 11:25, it wasn't 35, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Number seven, stay away from the world, be separate. Number seven, stay away from the world, be separate as much as you possibly can. I know we live in the world. I know we're part of the world. I understand that as far as we have to go to work, we go shopping, and we have to drive through, walk through. We have to live in the world. I understand that. But as much as is possible, you ought to stay away from the world and be separate. 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God's will is for you to be saved. Are you saved? God's will is for you to stay away. The Bible says, flee fornication. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm telling you, two of the biggest steps I did in my Christian growth was when I left my candles, the altars, the priests, and all the liturgy. I left it all behind when I got saved. That's what God says, come out from among them, be separate. I got baptized in a Baptist church. I just got saved. I didn't know much about the Bible. It was a conservative Baptist church. They had three or four perversions at the pulpit, and the pastor would use three different translations. And then I heard somebody preach about the King James Bible. You know what I did? I left the church I got baptized in and went to a King James Bible-believing church. Two biggest steps in my growth as a Christian, as a believer. Listen to me good. I left the old church behind that had the priests and the candles and the rosary and the statues and the icons. And those big elaborate, you know, productions of the gold and silver and all the beautiful stuff that catches everybody's eye. I'm glad I left that stuff behind. Because they never told me one time how to be born again. They never told me about how to be saved from hell. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And all of mankind fell because Adam listened to his wife. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's good. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good. In Genesis 13, Lot saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he chose wrong. He said, man, look how beautiful that area is. He chose the well-watered plains that led to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened? It was only a little bit while later that Lot, when he saw how beautiful it was, he went into well-watered plains, and then he kept going into Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's the same thing that's happened to America today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I've not taken a drop of alcohol, beer, booze, wine, liquor, knowingly, willingly, since November 1978, when I was 21 years old, when I got saved. Thank God I did. You ought to read your Bible. You ought to read the King James Bible, what it says. Look, I listened to worldly music and rock and roll, too, before I got saved. I was a teenager in the 60s and 70s. I went through it. Don't tell me you can't do what God said to do in your life. This is God's will in your life. Number eight. I said number one, the King James Bible. I said number two, salvation. I said number three, be content. Number four, listen to your authorities. Number five, you ought to pray for God's will to be done in your life, not your will. Number six, seek godly counsel. Number seven, stay away from the world, be separate. And there's so many other verses I could add on all those. Just for lack of time, I'm moving on. Number eight is what you heard last night in the Old Paths in the Valley meeting. You need a man of God. Listen to me good, before the house of God. Because there's many churches that are lukewarm and rebellious against God. People pick out churches. You know where they pick out churches? Where they feel comfortable in. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? When a person picks a church that's comfortable for them, they don't want a man of God preaching against the sin that they're committing in their life. They don't want a preacher trying to put the fire on them to get right with God. So they go someplace where they sing jingles all the time and jump up and down and sweat like you're going to a gym somewhere. They're going somewhere like it's a Hollywood production somewhere. It's a show. You don't want preaching. You don't want old-fashioned preaching. You know what you need? The eighth thing is a man of God will tell you the truth. That's what you need. That's the will of God in your life. That's what I did in my life. That's why I listen. I listen to Dr. Hiles as much as I could, man. I listen to Brother Roloff whenever I could, his tapes. I listen to Brother Ruckman as much as I could. You may not like any of those or all of them. I don't really care. I want to listen to what the old man of God had to say. I want to listen to what Charles Spurgeon had to say. I want to listen to what the old Baptist preachers from through 300, 400, 500 years ago had to say. Not this newfangled religion that we have today. The Bible says in Titus 1:3 that God has manifested his word through preaching. You're not going to know the King James Version, step number one, except through preaching, where someone has enough courage and backbone to tell you the truth, what God said. And I can go through all these verses. I went through them last night. But the Bible says in Psalm 73, until you don't understand until you went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Psalm 77, verse 13 says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You know why? Because there's a man of God. There's a preacher there. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. People are going to criticize you for being, you know, old-fashioned. You know. Oh, it's 2017, Pastor. Get with it. My God hasn't changed, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God doesn't change. Hebrews 10, 35, 36 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to do everything God tells me to do. That's good. Then you just need to wait. You need some patience, because it'll turn out right. Maybe not the way you want it to, but it'll turn out the way God wants it to. Hebrews 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You think it's tough for you? Can you imagine how tough it was for Jesus? Never sinned. Never said one bad word. Never had one bad thought. Being falsely accused and falsely arrested. Falsely imprisoned and falsely sentenced. And falsely jailed. And falsely beaten. And falsely executed. And as a lamb to the slaughter, didn't even open his mouth. Amen. But it was the will of God. Because he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Because had he not done the will of God, you and I would not have been saved today. You know what? Joy only comes after weeping. You want joy, but you don't want to weep. You don't want the heartaches. You don't want the tears. You don't want the burdens. You can't find joy and peace from the pharmacist or the doctor. Joy and peace only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this is joy, amen. You wish to God you could be happily married like I am 34 years, almost 35 years later. Yeah. You're going to wish to God that you still had your sanity when you're 60 years old. You're going to wish to God that you're going to wish to God that you could go back and change some things 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Why did I do that? Because you weren't paying attention. November 5th, 2017, in the house of God. In the sermon that the man of God was preaching about. Genesis 24, 27 says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. See, when you're in the way, God will lead you. So how will that happen? All these steps that I just said, I promise you, I guarantee you, based on the word of God, that God will lead you into his will. But 1 Timothy 1:19, there are those who don't. Bible says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, and their lives are shipwrecked today. Psalm 37, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Your life has been ordered in the Word of God. Amen. It's right here. It's not complicated. Did you read the will of God in your life today? Did you read the will of God for your life yesterday? Did you read the will of God in your life 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last week, last month, last year? Did you read it? It's right here. Last question. How were the government schools before 1960? And how are they now after 1960 and 61 when they took the Word of God out of the schools? You think they're better today than they were before 1961? You know what? They could put as many millions and billions and trillions of dollars into government schooling, and all they needed was one book, the Word of God. But when you hate God so much, you don't want to listen to what God says. You want to do it your way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your mercy. I want to thank you for your grace. For without your mercy, without your grace, we wouldn't be saved here this morning. And my prayer is, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. Maybe they don't know where they're going to go when they die. Maybe they never heard that you need to be born again. Maybe they never heard about a King James Bible. Maybe they never heard about these truths about the will of God in their lives. But I pray, dear God, that the scales would fall off their eyes today. That today the deaf would hear. And that the dumb would praise you. Dear Heavenly God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Bless these dear folks. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.